The greatest superheroes come to the Mohegan Sun August 18th to the 20th. Terrific on Connecticut's number one Comic-Con returns. Meet actors from the Game of Thrones, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Stranger Things. Plus a special tribute to TV's Adam West, Batman. Artists from Marvel and DC Comics, the Batmobile, the Batboat, even the Batcopter. It's Terrific on Connecticut's Terrific Comic-Con, Mohegan Sun, August 18th to the 20th. Tickets at the Mohegan Sun box office or Ticketmaster.com. See more at terrificon.com.
Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only Power Cosmic Podcast out there. Though I did look, and I think there was one called that years ago, but they suck. They're gone. We're still here. I digress. Anyway, I'm your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, producer of the world's greatest Comic-Con. We call it Terrific-Con because it's a terrific Comic-Con. It happens 1 month from the day we are doing this at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. Get your tickets now. And speaking of where you can get your tickets, they are available everywhere, including at this next person's booth every Sunday in the Raynham Flea Market, A89 and 90. The proprietor is here now. He's the author of articles that appear in Back Issue Magazine, Alter Ego, and The Kirby Collector. He is the owner of the world's first Marvel promotional Spider-Man costume. That's right, and if all goes well, you'll be seeing it for yourself someday on TV. But let's not go any farther. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for my co-host. You know him and you love him, and you want to be like him, Mr. John Cimino. Take it away, John.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you, Mitch. Good to talk with you, Mitch.
All right, John. First things first, I can talk about Spider-Man now. I've seen it. I saw it last time, but you've seen it twice now, too. What is your reactions, John?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. The diversity thing was a little, the pretentiousness of that was a little kind of tough to swallow, but it had its moment. I liked it. But when I text you, Mitch, right when I got, what did I say? Do you remember what I said?
Too much.
No, yeah, that was too much, but I liked Wonder Woman a little bit better.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked Wonder Woman better, but I loved it. I still give it the 5 Mitchies up.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is because as we record this, I'm reading the panic headline, the Chicken Littles out there. Oh my God, Spider-Man fell off 70-something percent from its opening weekend. Well, the world is coming to an end. All is doomed. The end is nigh. This is the end of the superhero movies. What do you think about the panic out in the streets, John? Is this really the end of the superhero movie?
I think people put so much stock in that kind of stuff. A big drop-off, I think people are, you know, there's been so many Spider-Man movies and all that stuff, so it's kind of, you know, that kind of hurts it a little bit. But, you know, listen, it's still going to make $300 million, correct? What's it up
right? You know, they're saying it's going to probably tap out around $250 or $300 or so. But that's not, I mean, it's amazing to me that we grow up in a world where a $300 million movie is a disaster. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing.
Right. The expectations are higher and all that stuff. But, I mean, it's like everything. A lot of these comic geeks, they complain, they say all this stuff, but they still go. They're still going to go to the next one. I know.
It's beyond belief. You know.
So what did you think of it, Mitch? What did you think of it?
No, I told you, I saw it twice in the theaters. I enjoyed it very much. I don't think it was the greatest movie ever made, but every time I go to the theater, I don't need to see the greatest movie ever made. I just need something to entertain me for a couple hours. And, you know, I'm a fan of these movies. I'm never going to stop going to them. I sat through the worst of the worst. I sat through the best of the best. It doesn't make a difference.
I think when I watched it a second time, I liked it better. I'll tell you that. I think because you saw more, you understand it more. I got to admit, Tom Holland was phenomenal as Spider-Man. Finally, we have a Spider-Man and Peter Parker. And I loved Michael Keaton. I mean, you take that away. That guy was awesome. The scene in the car when he's telling him he's going to kill him, that was like...
Oh, yeah. I know. It is what it is. And like I said, this week as we talk about this, not only am I preparing for my terrific Comic-Con, but the San Diego Comic-Con is happening this week. And again, when they talk about all the dire, like, oh no, is this the end of the superhero phenomena? Are you kidding me? Every time I look on Facebook, every time I look on the internet, all I see is the latest articles, not only from San Diego Comic-Con, all the new stuff that's coming out, but Disney just had their D23 convention out in California. Now, that's their own Comic-Con, if you will, because they own Star Wars. They own the Marvel properties. They own their own characters. Why would they bother going to San Diego Comic-Con? They held their own event, and they unveiled the plans for the new Star Wars theme park. They showed off the trailer for the Infinity War, the Avengers Infinity War. They showed a teaser for that. Black Panther was, you know, on parade there. They showed all the scenes and the sets and all that type of stuff. It's never going away, but the odd thing is, I got to say to you, don't you think it's really weird that they haven't even talked about the Justice League movie that's coming out this year?
Oh, I know. Mitch, let me ask you something. Did Marvel, because like you said, Disney's starting doing their own convention, did they pull out of San Diego?
Yeah, they're not at San Diego. D23.
It's so funny how everybody's trying to do their own thing, and there's so many shows, and everybody's trying to, like, because... It's crazy how that's happening.
Well, no. D23 was always an annual event for Disney fans. They used to have it in Anaheim out in front of Disneyland, and they would just talk about the parks and some stuff. But then when they started getting into the movies and buying up properties like Star Wars and Marvel, they started, you know, they'd introduce Captain America. They'd have Chris Evans there. They'd have Robert Downey Jr. there. So they were like, hey, you know, why do we have to fight for the limelight at San Diego Comic-Con? Because everybody's screaming over there, like, look at me, look at me, look at me. When they go, hey, we can hold our own event. And it's kind of funny, they used to do it in August, but this year they did it the week before San Diego Comic-Con just to steal the thunder from that event, you know? That's not by accident.
Yeah, my gosh,
it's crazy. Yeah, but even I remember years ago when DC stopped doing a big booth at New York Comic Con, there was a big uproar about it. And I heard, you know, different stories on why, but somebody says, why do they have to bother? They know that these guys that are coming to these events are going to buy the stuff anyway. Why shell out all the money for a humongous booth when, you know, you've already, it's like, they know you're going to go buy the bread and milk at the store. They don't have to advertise milk. Do you ever see big commercials on TV for your local milk? No.
Well, Mitch, are they also pulling out of New York?
Marvel? No. Well, the booth has gotten smaller and smaller every year at the New York Comic Con. To now, it's really just a big merchandise booth. They'll just be there selling T-shirts and, you know, that type of stuff. It's not what it used to be.
The competition...
Yeah.
Greater than ever.
All right. Well, one of the things I want to talk about is because I was going to mention to you last week, but we got sidetracked here. And believe it or not, our numbers are going up. So the people that are listening to this and downloading it, what is your problem? What is wrong with you? But I digress in that one, too. I get the numbers and I just shake my head. I go, they like it when we talk about nothing, I guess. I don't know. What is your observations about that, John?
That's interesting, Mitch. I'm going to tell you something. The power cosmic is in all of us. I believe we all have the ability to tap us into it. We kind of are a core of it. And when we permeate it out into the universe, people just can't help but latch on.
I think people just like having a familiar voices in the background and talking about things they're interested in, and it makes them.
Mitch, we're like Laurel and Hardy, no?
Yeah, yeah, I guess. They were silent movies, so I don't know how they would really do well on a podcast. But no, they did do talkies. They did do talkies. And of course, I would be the large, rotund, intelligent part of the pair.
Well, you know, but when we get all together with our posse, Keith, Joe, all the guys, Matt, we're like the little rascals, right? Right? We like our gang.
Who was that list again?
Well, like I was going to say, like Keith.
Oh, Keith. All right. Yeah. Magna, yeah. All
Joe,
right. Yeah.
Matt Herring, Brian. Yeah, well, there's those three stooges. You know, the three stooges out there.
Yeah, there's certain parts. They're little rascals. They had certain groups that were cool and certain ones that weren't so cool. So we're in definitely the cool one. All right. So listen. Spider-Man came back into the Marvel Universe cinematically, and it did very well. Everybody's happy to see him there. But one nagging problem I kept having with this is, when is the Fantastic Four coming back? Enough is enough with this. The book's been canceled for a couple years now. The movie, the last one, was just so hideous they don't even want to talk about it.
You see what we're starting up, though, Mitch? That a Marvel 2-in-1 is coming back, The Thing and the Human Torch.
I saw that. Marvel is going to release their new books for the fall, the legacy books. They're going back to the old numbering and all these other things are happening. Did you see the special set of covers that they're going to do that are replicas of the old T-shirts?
And I'm going to tell you something. Even John Cimino is going to come out of retirement and pick up that Hulk one because they're all the shirts.
Yeah, it's all the old white T-shirts from the 60s.
And they're using the old logos, too. So, but the question is, this is just a sales ploy. Get everybody on board, and let's see where we can take them. I'm not going to collect. I'm just going to probably pick up that Hulk one because I think it's cool. The Spider-Man has the Steve Ditko one. The Thing has the sweatshirt. But, yeah, that they're using the Human Torch. I think that's cool, Marvel 2-in-1, the Human Torch and the Thing. But they're doing that so they don't have to use the Fantastic Four wording. They don't have to give credit to Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, you know that, when they open that thing up, because it doesn't say The Thing and Human Torch created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. No, 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 no. It's The Fantastic Four created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. So that is a way to use those two characters who have been in the Guardians of the Galaxy series, The Thing has been, I don't know what the Torch is, and Sue Richards and Reed Richards, I have no idea where they are, but it's a way to use those characters, all right, but without giving any of the royalties or anything in the credit to the Kirby and Lee. I don't know if you know that.
Well, I don't know what they're doing, but I just saw, when I saw the cover artwork, again, that was released last week as part of the D23 convention, that information and those graphics. I said, I'm going to buy every one of those covers because they remind me of the old days. So they know exactly which buttons to push.
When I saw the ad for that, the first thing I thought of, I said to myself, Mitch is going to get every single one of them.
Oh, absolutely. I was already like, do I go online?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
I don't know why. I don't know. I'll just stare at them. I'll put them along with all the... They just did a series of variant covers with artist Joe Jusko, who painted the... remember the little corner boxes?
Yeah, I saw that.
I went out and got every single one of those covers. I don't even read some of those books. It was just... I'm insane.
Yeah, I saw those. To be honest, I didn't really care about them. But I got to admit that this legacy thing that they're doing, that's kind of a cool little... propaganda play right there, because when I saw it, I did think it was cool. I did think so, and I hate to say that.
Well, it's kind of like when they cash in on, and again, this ties into Terrificon, the Batman 66, the Adam West Batman. We all know Mr. West passed away about a month or so ago, but there's so much of that nostalgic Batman TV show stuff. I was out yesterday at the bookstore, and they had little 3¾ action figures based on the Batman TV show, the old Adam West show, and there was packaging, and I stopped to look at all of them. They had Catwoman, King Tut, Batman, of course, no Robin, though, Batgirl, but they were all done in that little G.I. Joe Star Wars action figure, 3¾, and I just looked at it like, oh, this is so awesome. But you know what? I was born in 1966, so they're making people who really don't remember it firsthand think they were there. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird how they market it, and we all believe, like, oh, we're part of that. we weren't even around then, you know?
Yeah, you know, Disney or whatever, Marvel were thinking, like, we got to get them back. So what's a way to get them back? And so
What I'm saying. Most of the people reading the books won't remember those covers because that was done in, what, 1966, 67?
Yeah, 65, 66. Yeah, 65, 66, and 67. Like, exactly, because the thing sweatshirt was a 67 one. Yeah, I agree, but think about it. What do people want? Even when you go to Target and you see those shirts, we see the classic images. Even if it's from the 80s, we see the classic heroes as they are. Because that's what the people want. Despite what Disney wants, and obviously they want these new characters so they can own the rights and all that other stuff, people want the classic characters. They're just so ingrained in the pop culture and in the imagination of people. It's never going to go away.
Well, yeah, look at Disney's main characters, Mickey Mouse, Goofy, Donald Duck, Pluto. Those characters, in essence, look the same as they have for 50, 60 years, you know?
Yeah. See, and it's funny. It's like, I understand, companies always try other things, but they were trying really hard at Marvel, and it bit them in the butt because sales plummeted so far down, it was the worst it's probably ever been. I mean, talking to Roy, I think I told you this. He told me back in the 70s, when he was editor-in-chief, they would cut comics. They would cancel comics in the 200,000 range. Yep. 200,000. What comic sells that today?
None do. They sell in the tens of thousands.
What? He was cutting those comics. That's like, I mean, so those characters, those images are so ingrained in the culture. I mean, like anything. Look at all, like, you go into,
gift shops.
You always see the images of the Romita Spider-Man. You know, always the classic stuff.
I know what you're saying, but that's what I'm trying to say. How could they restart the Fantastic Four and bring it back?
Are you talking about the comic or the movie?
No, I'm talking, in general, in the public's eye, in the fans' interest, what do you do to revive the Fantastic
Four? In order for that to work, Marvel has to get the rights back because, Fox, because then they're going to put effort in the comics, put effort in the merchandise. It's got to come back. You know as well as I do, despite how bad the Fantastic Four was, they remind me of Spider-Man in the 90s. Remember the 90s when Howard Mackey was writing them?
Yeah,
Spider-Man was the clone saga. It was the most unhip. Spider-Man was so unhip, that's why the mutants took over as the number one property in Marvel. But you can't keep a good character down. You know, if they get that stuff back, despite all the, everybody saying that, all this crap, the bad movies, they're strong enough to bounce back. A good writer, a good movie, a good merchandise, and they'll come back full force.
The
question is, when is that going to happen? It'll only happen if they get the rights back to Marvel, because Marvel is never going to put effort into that property because they don't have movie rights.
So basically, they're like, look, we're not going to bring the comic book back. We're not going to make people excited about it, because if there is interest generated and people want to go see it in the big screen in the movie theater, we're not going to get a taste of that, so why bother? They've done that with the X-Men, with Logan. They killed off Wolverine in the comics.
Well, let me ask you this, Mitch. How many new mutants have been created since when they killed off all the mutants? Remember, there's a mutant everywhere. All those mutants were killed off. There's never been a new mutant created since what, 2007, 2000, something like that, when the movie started really running rampant. There's never been a new mutant created. Think about that, because they don't want that.
I don't know. I tried getting back into the X-Men. I picked up the latest, the two books, X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue. They sit on my shelf, unread. I just can't get into it. I did start picking up the latest Old Man Logan, because they redid the battle with the Hulk, except he's battling the older Hulk, the Maestro, I mean, just to get that going. I don't know. I mean, to bring the Fantastic Four back, do you go back to the classic villains? Do you have them fighting Dr. Doom, Diablo, the Mole Man? I mean, are those villains so out of date people just roll their eyes?
Well, think of how bad. Once again, Dr. Doom is the greatest villain ever created. I don't care about the Joker and all that. Dr. Doom is, without a doubt. But he spawned the greatest villain now in all of pop culture is Darth Vader. And he's just a weak Dr. Doom. But the thing is, Fox has been messing up the movies. That's what the kids that are older now. You got to remember, when did the first Fantastic Four movie come out? The one with Jessica Alba and all that. When did that come out?
2000. I took my kids to 2005, I think.
Okay. So that's almost 12 years ago, Mitch. So those kids who watched that as young grew up on that horrible stuff, and they don't like it. And then they get the other one. So you got to think of that generation of people. They're not looking for the Fantastic Four. They think of the Fantastic Four as horrible. And look at how bad, once again, look at how bad Doom was. Like, how do you mess up Dr. Doom? And they did it 3 freaking times in all 3 of those movies. So it's almost like a dead property right now. And that is what's hurt that. And so without the comic books pushing them, it's not getting out there, and that's unfortunate. See, the difference is with the X-Men.
We'll start with the movies. If you made, say, the Fantastic Four is back and really popular in the comic form, if you started to make the movies right now, which actor plays Mr. Fantastic?
I would have to really think about that. You put me on the spot there, Mitchy, but I'll tell you this. And I sat down and talked to Roy about this because his favorite character is the Thing, bar none. And I asked him, if you were going to write the Fantastic Four movie, I asked him, what would you do? He said, they ruined Dr. Doom, so you can't bring Dr. Doom again. It's just too... It's too much, you know, because he's been in the 3 movies.
Yeah, like the Green Goblin. They can't do another one. They've done that to death. So
yeah, they've done that to death. I think what you would do, and this was perfect talking about, he goes, you start the property and then eventually bring Doom. He could come in movie 3 or 4, and then you can use him. But he said, I would start it with the Mole Man, because nobody utilizes the Mole Man. And he goes, he's a very intellectual, like a sinister type of villain. And he goes, his creatures can cause a world disaster and all that, where they all have to come together and, you know, and be embraced by the world and, defeat the threat. And I thought about that. And you think about that because the Mole Man, he does have that, think of his history, Mitch, you know, like he was very smart, but he was exiled by the people, you know, considered ugly, and he had that type of,
All right. If I had to cast it, he's really old now. Danny DeVito.
Oh my God! I agree with you, Danny DeVito. And him being old, actually works in his favor because the Mole Man was old, and you could use that in Anthem. And you know what he has to do? He has to die at the end. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. It's Mitch right there.
All right. Danny DeVito is the Mole Man. The Invisible Woman.
Mr. Fantastic.
No. Invisible Woman. Blake Lively. She's the wife of Ryan Reynolds. She was in the Green Lantern movie, but she's a blonde lately. I've seen her in the new movie called The Shallows, where she's being attacked by a shark.
Oh, yes. I saw that. Is that the one with the shark?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. That's very pretty, but yet not overly pretty, but very wholesome.
Yeah, oh, she's really pretty sometimes.
But she's not.
Yeah,
like,
she's like the all American beauty type.
Yes, all American. Like, it's like a girl you see in college. Beautiful girl, but like, she's not overly done, and she's not fake and all that. I agree.
All right, so that's two. Johnny Storm. Let's see.
Okay, Johnny Storm.
Who's out there that's a young kid? Really popular.
We use the races correctly. Johnny Storm is white.
Okay, Tough I don't want to. I'm not getting into that. I'm just going into the character that I read in the books. Who do I sit there and think of when I see on TV? Huh. I don't really know a lot of young actors anymore. Well, you know who would do it? He's not blonde, but the kid that was just in that Baywatch movie who was in those those High School Musical movies. You know what
You're
I'm talking
about? Zac Efron? Zac?
Zac Efron. Is that his name? Zac Efron?
Yeah, Zac Efron.
Yeah, you need like a pretty boy guy, don't you? I don't know how well he can act, though.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you there.
All right. Let's see then. Who else is out there?
The thing about me and you, we're not really hip with what's going on. I like the new hot young actors that are going. What about, here's one for you. Who's the guy that played, is the guy who played Steve Rogers? He's too old, though, correct?
Chris Evans is too old.
What? Let me throw this one at you. Him as Reed Richards?
Nah, he doesn't come across as smart. What?
Too good looking for Reed?
Yeah. You need somebody who's kind of dull, boring, bookwormy. I'll tell you what, the guy that played the Punisher would have been a good Ben Grimm, but he's in too many comic book movies now, you know? You need somebody who's like that volatile, hot-headed type of guy. But you know, I think they would CGI the entire thing. Huh?
Yeah, but the guy that actually played the Thing in the Ghost Thing movies really wasn't that bad.
Michael Chiklis?
Yeah, I think he was kind of put in a bad spot, like a bad role and stuff, like the costume and stuff. And wait, let me ask you this. Does the Thing have to be CGI?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be... I don't know what they've done. The makeup... Chiklis looked just too small. I always thought the Thing would be a little taller, you know? He just looked too tiny when he was in the Fantastic Four movie. In that last movie they did the CGI, he was running around with no pants on. I don't know what the hell that was about. That bothered
me. Now, let me ask you this, Mitch. If you're going to make a Fantastic Four movie, are they all young and like they try to do in the movie that just went by, or to get the new generation, or are they of age? You got a young
I think you make Reed Richards in his 40s, early 40s, and Ben Grimm could be like 39, you know, that type of test pilot guy. Johnny could be 20, 22, young kid. Johnny would be a rap star. If this is Hollywood nowadays and they were thinking it, Johnny would be a rap star. Sue would be a YouTube sensation. She would be somebody that's on the, popular on Instagram. She would be more like a Kardashian girl. Reed Richards would be some type of rich. He'd be like Mark Zuckerberg. He'd be like an internet genius.
Let me ask you that, Mitch.
What?
Would you upgrade them to be contemporary with like what you're saying? Like would they have to be what's hip right now? Would they have to be into that?
Yeah, that's what they did wrong in that last Fantastic Four movie. They try to modernize them, and would you do a period piece? Would you make them all in the 60s, or that wouldn't work? Like they did that X-Men First Class movie.
It's kind of funny. Why does the X-Men work and even their early stuff work and the Fantastic Four can't? Because I think the Fantastic Four has got to be older, and maybe they have to be. Like, I mean, you got the young Johnny Storm, but the actual characters to work, they have to be older, no?
I have no idea why.
A little out of touch?
Maybe it's out of touch. Well, speaking of out of touch, and here's one that's coming out. Have you seen the commercial for the Inhumans?
Oh, boy.
Have you?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I did.
That looks like a train wreck, okay? The Inhumans suck. They've always sucked. When they were in a comic book, you didn't want to read them because they were like the poor man's X-Men, okay? They were dull and boring. That's my recollection. I've never remember reading an Inhumans book going, oh, my God, I've got to go get the next one.
Okay, I kind of agree with you, but the effect, now, I know people kind of like, the casting wasn't that bad. I thought the guy who was casted as Black Bolt was pretty good. I thought like the casting was good. I mean, obviously he had Gorgon as an African-American I wasn't too crazy about. But the casting really wasn't that bad. But the effects looked like something out of the 90s. Like when you saw Lockjaw, I was kind of like, it looks fake. I mean, like we're 2017.
Oh, yeah, Lockjaw looked like a bad... Yeah, like a early CGI, bad 90s.
Yeah, early CGI, where you can tell. It reminds me of, like, the Spawn. Remember that Spawn movie?
Yeah, like, with Martin Sheen.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, but you can't, that doesn't work in 2017, so, like...
I went to school with Spawn. Did you know that?
What?
I went to college with Spawn, Michael Jai White.
Oh, yeah, you told me. And he did some sort of potato thing? What?
No, he was in a play called Larry the Lobster, and he played a lobster.
And you mentioned it to him when he came to the show.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he flipped out. He's like, oh, my God. Because he was doing a press conference, and I walked up. I go, and he had all these photos in front of him. I looked down. I go, hey, you got any pictures of Larry the Lobster? And he goes, what? And I said, yeah. He goes, get over here. Don't tell anybody about that. So, yeah, I was in that with him.
The Fantastic Four is hard because they're put in a... Because you got to look at FF number one. Reed Richards was older, like he's 40.
Oh, no. Go by the timeline. In Fantastic Four 1, back in the 60s, he was a veteran of World War II. So you say he was 20. That was 20 years earlier. Yeah, he was already in his 40s, almost 50.
Yeah, so I mean, you got to make them out of touch, though. They got to be older.
Well, I think they already did the Fantastic Four movie. It was called The Incredibles, that animated show. Remember?
And it shows you that it can work. But, you could see that was totally taken from, like, the family. As long as you get good writing, you get some good writers in there, and you get that family thing that you care about these characters. I think that's what they were trying to do with the Inhumans, making them very close. I think the characters are strong enough with a good writer, good casting. They'll come back, and I think they can be strong, but it just has to work. But let me ask you this, Mitch. Who would you cast as Dr. Doom?
Who would I cast as Dr. Doom? Are you going to see his face at all?
Well, it would have to be all... I'm sure it would have to be all mutilated and stuff because he burnt the mask on.
Tom Cruise.
If I throw this at you, Mitch, I would love a Doctor Doom movie. If you ever read Fantastic Four Annual 2, number 2, the Fantastic Origin of Doctor Doom, that whole thing could be a movie in itself.
I said Tom Cruise is Doctor Doom. You didn't like that.
Well, what did you just say?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, Mitch, don't make me hit you.
All right.
You're kidding, right?
No, Christian Bale as Dr. Doom.
Christian Bale.
The guy that played Batman. He's never played a villain.
No, I know Christian Bale, but I'm thinking it could be somebody that's like, you could even get somebody like older because let's be honest, he doesn't have to really wear the suit,
No, whatever. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, that's right, because Christian Bale, I'm thinking of Secret Wars at the end when he gets his face back, and then you're with the hair. Yeah, Christian Bale could, because he can get that kind of crazy, the maniacal, like the ego, all that crap. Yeah, that could work.
Yeah,
I think a Dr. Doom movie would be perfect.
I just can't figure out anybody else. I'm trying to think who would be a good Johnny Storm. Would the guy that plays Arrow be a good Johnny Storm, or he's too muscular?
I think that would be good, but are we kind of... Would you... Let me ask you this.
You know who would have been a good Johnny Storm, but he died? The kid from the Fast and Furious movie, Paul Walker.
But he, as you said, Mitch, he's dead. Yeah, he would have been pretty good, but he was getting a little older. Didn't he die? He was like almost 40, though, was he not?
Yeah.
He had
Vin Diesel as Ben Grimm, but Vin Diesel's in his late 50s, or he's 50, right?
Yeah, he's in his mid-40s, definitely.
Well, he would have been a good Ben Grimm.
I don't know. Why is the Fantastic Four even tough for us, Mitch?
I don't know. Maybe that's why they can't make one. Maybe the way. But I would like to see the comic book come back. The fact that we live in a world without a Fantastic Four monthly book is bizarre. Can't believe
it. But do you like how they're bringing at least the Thing and the Human Torch?
Oh,
because
I think of all those Strange Tales books that they used to do.
And they're calling it Marvel 2-in-1.
I love Marvel 2-in-1, Marvel Team-Up. Those are my favorite books. Favorites, I tell you.
They look good, and I like once again, they use the old-fashioned lettering, and they use
the logo,
everything.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I'm going to wrap this one up because Let's stick to the half-hour formats because we've been getting out of control here. Right?
Yeah, we'll throw this out there. If what? Anybody listening, if they think that they could give a cast of the Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom in the mold, I think Danny DeVito definitely molds.
They can go to our Facebook page, which has actually been getting a couple people. We're almost in triple digits when it comes to likes. And it's all not Scott Martin in aliases. I think if an episode of The Power Cosmic goes by and we don't say Scott Martin, then we're in trouble. He did write to me the other day and said he wants to tell you that he will not be getting a tattoo of you and me on his arm. So much for fandom.
Well, no, not yet, Mitch. Not yet.
That's true. Day's not over yet. All right, so how do we wrap things up, Johnny?
And that's that.
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC, the folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.